Inside the Asylum. This is Carl the Madman. I want to kick off the night tonight a little differently. I want to play Seasons in the Abyss by Slayer. Slayer lost Jeff Hanneman today, or a couple days ago. And, you know, I'm still a little shaken up about it because, you know, Slayer and that old metal means a lot to me. So this is for Slayer. Well, that's for Jeff Hanneman of Slayer. You will be missed, but time to move on. Tonight we've got Spencer, Kari, and Matthew with us. Spencer, how's it going, man?
It's going good as always. It's going good. Just kind of relaxing. Had a nice dinner at Tumbleweed. I'm kind of sitting down, relaxing that off. Feel like I gained about 50 pounds, but I'm ready to talk some MMA.
Well, before we do that, I know you're a metalhead yourself. You're a little younger than me. What did Slayer mean to you?
You're right. I am a little younger, but I mean that's one of the bands that started it off. Anytime somebody's lost from one of the original, I guess, great four bands, anybody lost from that is a big hit to that genre of music. And I mean, I've listened to Slayer on multiple occasions just to figure out the origins of metal, because I myself am a metalhead, and it's a great loss, and he definitely will be missed. But you know, that music genre will go on, and people will remember what he contributed to it.
Right on, Kari.
Yes.
You?
I'm wonderful. How
Welcome.
Are you?
Welcome to
Thank
your
you
debut
very much.
On live radio.
Thank
Relax,
you. I'm very
fun.
Excited.
And Matthew, we all know what Matthew sounds like.
No need for me to say anything then, I guess. Just put me on mute. I'll be like Skippy tonight. I'll be the Skippy for this tonight show, where he's always there behind the scenes and you never know it. And then he breaks into one of your interviews and starts talking and takes over your show.
I'm sure he appreciates that.
So, Spencer, you're heading to an event. You want to tell everybody who our first guest is tonight and, you know, kick it off that way?
Oh, of course. UVC 23. It's going to be May 10th. I've been excited for this card for a while now. They always put on great cards in the Columbus area. Our guest tonight is Dan Spahn. He is a 7-3 professional, a Bellator veteran, and I mean, he's fought the likes of Attila Vague, Josh Stansberry. This guy brings it every time in the cage, and he will be fighting Aaron Mays, who is 3-2. And I mean, this whole event from top to bottom is just it's going to be war. And this fight's definitely one to look out for, and I'm really happy to have Dan on.
I got to say, man, he fought, as you mentioned, he fought Attila Vague. I've seen Attila Vague fight in person. Dude is nasty. He fought, I saw him at Bellator 72 against Emmanuel Newton. Although he lost that fight, everybody there thought he lost that fight. Somehow he came out of that fight with a split decision win over Emmanuel Newton, but they're about to get that rematch. But back to the point, to lose to Attila Vague by a split decision proves this guy's toughness, man. This guy's got to be a beast, because Attila Vig's a nasty dude, so, I mean, that's pretty good.
Oh, definitely, and I mean, like you said, split decision. I mean, you could argue that it went his way. Anytime it's a split decision. But I got to see him fight at UVC 22 against Robert Morrow, and I mean, this guy, he has a complete MMA game. Ground game, stand-up, he just looked like he controlled the fight everywhere.
And he's got some nasty-looking ears, too. lifetime of fighting, which is going to be a retirement full of hearing, of hard hearing. So.
Yeah, and draining those. Yeah, but definitely excited to see him fight. Like I said, UVC 23, May 10th. That's going to be at the Aladdin Shrine Temple in Columbus, Ohio. For all you listeners out there in the Ohio area, make sure you check that out. I'm sure tickets are still available. You can get them, contact them at UVC MMA on Twitter. Like I said, get out there, support it, local MMA.
Yeah, hey, I want to jump in just real quick, since this is Kari's first time, and Kari's still relatively
sorry.
New to the Team Madhouse here. No, don't say sorry. I still don't think I'm very good, and so don't worry about it. But since you're kind of new to Team Madhouse, and I mean, talk about yourself. You know, where do you come from, and what brought you to MMA Madhouse?
You still there?
I'm still there. I think maybe. Yeah, I think we lost her. We did lose her.
Oh,
until
man.
We get her, yeah, we'll get her back. Until we get her back, I mean, for people that don't know, Kerry Richardson, like I said, relatively new to MMA Madhouse. She comes out of Indiana. She's already covered in an event for us, did a kick-ass job there. So I know we're excited to have her a part of the team. Carl's really excited. Skippy, everyone's excited to have her on. So as soon as we can get her back here, we'll let her talk about herself for a minute because, honestly, I could – try and talk about her, but I don't know her. So
I'm back.
There we go.
There she is. She is back. So
I'm
anyway,
back.
Kerry, go, fill us in on where you come from and how you came to MMA Madhouse.
I am from Indiana, small town. Fell in love with MMA, Pride 21, Don Fry, Yoshihiro Takayama. Stole my heart. I've been passionate about MMA ever since. And I came across MMA Madhouse on Twitter, and we connected well, and it's been history in the making.
Awesome.
Love the team.
That's the same way I found Madhouse was through Twitter, and I was just kind of – I was new to Twitter and just kind of like surfing around and checking different Twitter pages out and stuff and came across Madhouse and was like, this guy, you know, these guys seem pretty cool. Never would have thought that I'd have been writing for him and being part of the team. I sent Carl a piece I did, and he said, you know, you suck, leave me alone, never talk to me again. And then he gave me a chance, and now we're soulmates, me and Carl, so it worked out.
Carl is the man. He is great. I
Carl
never thought I would be either, but I absolutely love it. Love Team Madhouse.
Same goes for me. Never imagined I'd be writing for a website this young. Thank you, Carl. Can't say thanks enough. I know every time you call me, I always say thank you like 50 million times. I'm sure you're tired of it. But that's how it goes.
I'm the same way.
I think we all are.
Yes.
Spencer, I can't,
thank
I can't
you,
give you,
Carl.
Enough, I can't give you enough props, Spencer, for stepping up all the time. You know, Jason on Full Guard Fight Radio, Jason's work schedule sometimes doesn't allow him to get home for the show and stuff, and it goes to show that we've got an awesome team when we got people that will step up and fill in for a night. And I know it's not easy. Filling in for a two-hour show can be a little trying, and you've done a great job every time. So I know we appreciate it over there, and just excited to kind of sit back, hang out tonight, let you guys do your thing, and listen to a great interview here. Carl's actually behind the scenes getting an interview set up, so any minute now we'll be going live with Dan Spahn and talk some cool stuff. I'm excited to hear a little bit about his Bellator days. I'm a big Bellator fan, and excited to hear a little bit about that. So.
Both, Bellator.
It's awesome, man.
Bellator
is great. At a Bellator event. I know Kerry was recently at a Bellator event, and I'll actually set up and let you guys introduce your guests, and we'll finish talking later. So you guys go ahead.
All right, Carl, you ready?
Yes,
go for
I'm
it,
ready.
Man.
All right, Dan, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I cannot complain. So I've been privileged to see you fight multiple times, and just for the listeners out there who aren't familiar with you, tell us a little about yourself.
I started with traditional style martial arts and built from there and just kind of started competing in the cage, and I've been fortunate enough to fight in the big leagues and go to the next level, and excited to move on and continue that and make my way back there and show everybody a good night.
Now, tell us a little bit about your Bellator days. I mean, we all here at Madhouse, that's one of our favorite promotions, and I mean, you fought some top guys there. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I had a great debut. I came out and fought a tough guy locally who was undefeated as an amateur, and I came out and got a 9-second knockout on him. I worked a lot of training for him, and everything just happened right there. The timing was there. My coaches had everything down right on him, and that was a good fight. And on top of that, I've dropped a few splits against some tough guys, like you said, and had the pleasure to fight Attila Bay. And like I said, I feel like I mean, I lost that fight, genuinely. It was a split decision, but I lost. And I feel like if I had put a little more pressure on, I might have been able to pull that one through, but that's my mistake. And my last fight was against Josh Stansberry, and that's when I dropped to a submission.
Hey, go ahead. Go ahead and jump in.
Real quick, Dan. My name is Matthew. I'm just kind of hanging out tonight. But I want to ask real quick, since you brought up the Attila Vague fight, Attila Vague has been on the better end of some very, very close, questionable decisions. I've saw one in person. Yours is a split decision. Anytime a split decision happens, it could obviously have gone either way. And more often than not, I see in split decisions that the person on the losing end probably should have been the guy that won. So do you feel you said if you would have put a little bit more pressure on him, you feel like you would have won that. Do you feel, though, with your performance that you still should have won that fight?
Well, my wife and some of my coaches think that – I mean, of course, they're disappointed because I didn't finish it, but they believe I did, and I think I was the aggressor, especially in the last round. I was making him run for me the whole time, and I was throwing more shots, and I had more control of Cage. So, I mean, yeah, I think I thought I won, but at the same time, whatever the judges say, it's kind of what you're stuck with. So
now you're have a fight coming up next week. You're fighting Aaron Mays, who I believe is 3-2. Tell us a little bit about that fight, your preparation for it, and training camp.
Well, I'm training a little bit everywhere. I usually do that. I go to a lot of different places to get a variety of skill sets from different fighters and different people that train there, and been working a lot of things for Aaron Mays, such as my reach and my striking. I've been working a lot of striking, which I usually do, but especially since I have such a significant reach, I believe, height advantage. And so I've been working to fight that and just kind of getting better at everything, kind of moving around everywhere.
Now, Aaron Mays, I see two of his fights finished in TKOs. I'm not sure about the third. Do you plan on standing up with him? Do you plan on taking him to the ground? Or just, I saw you against Robert Morrow, and you seemed comfortable everywhere. What's your game plan for this fight?
Yeah, really, I mean, I train everything, so I try to get better as a martial artist and be fully well-rounded. So wherever the fight ends up going, it's going to go, and I feel pretty happy there. But, of course, if I think I have an advantage, I'll try to keep it there. So, and like I said, I think I'm going to be the taller fighter, and I should have the reach. So unless he gives me a reason, I'll probably try to keep it standing.
Mm-hmm. So. And now you have after this fight, you'll have two locally back here in Ohio. Do you plan on racking up a couple more fights and then trying to get back to Bellator, or what's your plans with that?
Well, right now, like I say, I've talked to Bellator, and if they have something open, they're willing to work with me, of course, and they're a great organization, and I like them. And at the same time, I've also talked to Joe Silva and some of the guys with UFC, and I had the pleasure to be up in Vegas for the tough tryouts for that last season, and made it all the way to the end, and then they decided not to have 205, so kind of got a little bit out on that one, but I still had some good contacts with them, so. Fortunately, they said if they have something open and that they know my name and I've got a, bug in their ear. So hopefully that and training with all the guys in UFC might help me get in there too. So.
It's always great to have connections. And speaking of connections, please, for me and you, talk to Bjorn Redney. Tell him to bring an event to Ohio.
No, definitely. I think he likes Ohio for sure. And every time he's been here, he's seem to appreciate what we have here, and I mean, I think he agrees with most people that they're third, if not second, in the entire nation with MMA right now. So,
oh, I definitely agree with that. But I've been talking to the guys from our website, and I've been complaining to them saying Bellator needs to come back here. I want to cover an event.
Oh yeah, definitely. I would definitely. I'll talk to Brian Rogers and get everybody to get a bug in his ear and try to get him back here. For sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, get all the local guys on the card. Get all the Ohio guys on the card, and that'd be great because, I mean, Ohio puts out some great martial artists.
Oh, yeah. Great fights, great martial artists, just hungry all around.
Hi, Dan. My name is Kari. I'm curious as to what you do outside of MMA. I know you are a co-instructor, right, for the Cambridge Martial Arts. I know that
has to take up
some of your life as well.
But oh, yeah, definitely.
What else
are
you interested in?
Well, I love, of course, love teaching, and I love helping people, and especially young guys, young teenagers and people that don't know what they need to be doing with their time, and trying to get them out of the street and helping them find something, find a discipline, and find the way they're supposed to live their life. And on top of that, I have 4 children of my own, so I have 2 twin boys, a 6-year-old son, and a 7-year-old mm-hmm. daughter. So they take up a lot of my time, too.
I'd say so.
Which is a good thing. It's a good thing, for sure.
Very good. Do you want to elaborate any more on helping your troubled youth in the county? That has to be very, very important.
Definitely. That's, I mean, like I say, I work a full-time job in construction, and any time I have other than that, I'm trying to either teach or train or help someone, anyone, as far as, like, I have relatives that need help. I have anybody that shows an interest that I could see, get them off the streets and get them inside, get them doing something right, and show them how to do what's right. I mean, that's martial arts got me in and kept me from getting into trouble when I was younger. And if I didn't get into martial arts, there's no telling what would happen. So I think it's really important.
Hey, that's great to hear, man.
Yeah, I actually want to add something real quick. This is Matthew again, and I just want to say I love hearing that from fighters, Dan. We had Joe Hyland on my show Thursday night, Full Guard Fight Radio, and he kind of does a little bit of the same where he helps out. He's got a program at his school where he helps out, you know, with the troubled youth and trying to get them back reestablished into normal society and back into schools and stuff. So I just want to say it's really admirable. You know, a lot of fighters, I feel like all professional athletes should do that. I think that when you have the stand, when you're on that platform of a professional athlete, and there's millions of people that look up to you, and I love hearing when, especially with MMA fighters, when they are giving back and helping out the troubled youth around them, helping out their neighborhoods and stuff like that, man. So that's a great, a lot of respect for me for that.
Well, thanks. And I mean, I think that's what it's all about. So, I mean, if I help 1 or 2 people, it's been worth it. So, sure.
Yeah, man, that's great to hear. That's always good stuff. And now you, with helping them and all that stuff, does that, can you, like, compare that with getting in the cage? Does that in any way, I'm trying to find the words to say for this, how do you connect that? How do you go about with doing both of those things?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that just shows them how, I mean, life's a fight. So when you go in, I go in the cage, it's very similar to the same kind of experiences I have in the cage. I mean, you go through times and you don't know what you're thinking in your mind. You might think that, yeah, you've got this or everything's good, or you might get hit. You might not know what's going on. And as soon as that happens, it turns your world upside down, and you have to know how to roll with the punches and keep going. So, I mean, I think it transitions and it works really well to teach or show someone a message about life and not having it everything great at first. If you just keep your, you know, chin down, your head up, and just keep working hard, then everything will turn out.
Now, I want to jump back over towards your upcoming fight. How much do you know about Aaron Mays? Are you familiar with his game? Have you seen film on him?
Definitely seen film on him, and I watch most of the guys if they have anything out there, and I'm familiar with his frame and the way he moves and the way he fights, and definitely see where I could maybe exploit things, and I'm sure he's done the same for me. But I mean, I'm hoping that what we've done and how I've trained in my camp is going to work out and have a successful fight, and that's the main end game there.
Now, he's making his UVC debut, right?
Yep, definitely.
Do you think that's going to give you an advantage?
I think it always does, usually, yeah. I think be it a really large organization, a developing organization, whatever it is, I think you're coming into new territory, you don't know what you're getting into, and when you first jump in there, whether you want to or not, you're going to have a lot of nerves, and I think that's going to affect your performance, for sure.
Now, do you think fighting in the big leagues like Bellator, do you think that gives you an advantage as well?
Oh, yeah. I definitely do on that because there's nothing really to compare to from fighting in a local organization to when you move on to that stage and that level. Just knowing how many people you're in front of or how many people are watching you, and at the same time, there's a whole other level of pressure to perform and to just show people that you're here and that you want to make it. And definitely, I think it puts things in perspective.
So with fighting in an organization like UBC and then fighting in an organization like Bellator, did you have the same nerves coming in? Or obviously, Bellator is a bigger stage. I mean, were you extra nervous for that?
I think, yeah, especially my first fight. I mean, everybody does. Or if they don't, they say they don't, they're probably lying. That you're pretty nervous, especially the first time you go in front of in the big leagues and somewhere big like that, and you're expected to, you know, do your best and give everything. And if you didn't feel that, then I don't think you should be getting in there, because that's what keeps you fresh and makes you a better fighter and keeps you on your toes.
Mm-hmm. And did you go through, like, the same routines and everything leading up to the fight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a pretty standard routine that I like to go through and like to keep myself centered. And like I said, I came from a traditional style background, so I like to do a lot of things like meditation, relaxation, where I'm kind of in my own world until it's time to go. And once the cage locks, I'm in, and then it's my world again.
Sounds great. One thing I want to ask about, just because I think it's so impressive, you talked about it a little bit earlier, but that 9-second knockout, like, do you think that that's a highlight of your career or something that you'll be able to top one day? I mean, I know it's 9 seconds, but can you outperform that performance?
I definitely think that it was a great performance, but I think I have a lot more to offer and a lot more to give just like that, if not better. Mm-hmm. I've definitely been training, and as like I say, I feel like I'm at a different level than I've ever been, and I train and get better every day, so I feel like that's just one of the many highlights that I'm going to be bringing into my career, for sure.
That's amazing. And I look forward to seeing those.
Dan. I'll look forward to bringing them.
So, I mean, you put together quite a stacked amateur career and a lot of fights. I'm down here in Florida, and we have a law down here where the amateur fighters have to at least fight 5 fights before they go pro. Most of them, they hit that 5 and then they jump pro, whether they're ready for it or not. What went into your mindset of doing so many amateur fights? Was it getting to that point where you felt ready to go to that next level? Was it coaches? Was it a mixture of things? Like, what was the mindset behind that?
I think it was a little bit of a mixture of things. Like you said, the coaches wanting to make sure I'm ready, and then same thing myself. I wanted to get the experience, because if you look at a boxer or any other area like that, they literally have hundreds of amateur fights sometimes, I mean, or up to the hundreds. So, I mean, it's all about being comfortable in there. So I think, as talking to an amateur fighter that thinks they're ready for the next step, just to be patient. They have time, especially if they're young. Just get in there as many times as you can and try to fight tough guys, not just try to fight wins. That's the thing. When you're amateur, fight toughest guys you can find. It's the best thing you can do.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And now you fought several times in the NAAFS as well as the UVC. Do you plan on, before going back to the big stage, do you plan on fighting in the NAAFS again at all?
Well, like I said, I've actually talked to them and had some negotiations about things and talked about some recent opportunities, and that's definitely a possibility. Just kind of depends on whether they're going to be willing to work with me and my management, and the same thing goes there. I mean, I'd love to work with them again, for sure. They're a great organization, too, and anything local, anything I can bring to Ohio, for sure is going to help and spread the sport. So, I'm kind of open to anything as long as we can work together, for sure.
Hey, with a 9-second knockout on your resume, I think any organization would be happy to have you on the card.
Well, that's good to hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that definitely sticks out to people. But we appreciate you coming on, and before we run out of time, we just want to give you a chance to shout out whoever you want, shout out your sponsors and the people who are closest to you.
Okay, definitely. I'd like to start with my wife, Rachel, for all the support she gives me and helps me. I work all the time and I train all the time, so I know it's really hard for her sometimes, and I'd like to thank her first and foremost. And then I'd like to thank Intimidation Clothing, Game Time Design, Jeff Ferguson. A lot of guys, definitely sponsorship-wise, and people I work with, they're great people, great guys. They help develop me and other people. So that and Ronan Training Center, George Grigel, those guys, they give great opportunity, great training. Luke Zachrich, there's so many names, it's hard to name them all, but definitely. And Rich Franklin, I'd like to thank him because he's helped me a lot. And Matt Brown, those guys have definitely been really helpful for my training. So for anybody I missed, I'm sorry, and thanks for the opportunity to thank them, sure.
Hey, listen, Dan, where can people find you on the social networks, man? Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram? Where can people find you at?
Definitely, I'm on Twitter and Facebook at least right now. So definitely Dragon Spawn, at Dragon Spawn, Twitter, and then I have a fan page on Facebook for Dragon Spawn and Dan Dragon Spawn. So.
All right, you guys, you heard it, folks. Go out there, follow him, like his fan page. This guy delivers knockouts. This guy fights with the best of them.
All right. Thank you, and thanks for the opportunity, guys.
Absolutely.
Good night, Dan.
Thank you. You guys have a nice night.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.
Cool ass dude, man. I'll be following your results next weekend to see how he did, man. He sounds like a cool dude. Trying to look up that Bellator 51 knockout, but it doesn't seem to be anywhere on YouTube. But,
hey, I'm doing the same thing right now. That's funny. But, no, definitely. After listening to your show earlier this week, I definitely have two people to root for now, Dan and Joe.
Yeah.
Two quality guys.
So you guys know a little backstory. The Pinterest thing, my goofy-headed co-host on Full Guard Fire Radio, Jason London, quite the character. He asks, I don't think we have an interview that he doesn't ask the person whether or not they have like a Pinterest. Pinterest is his big thing, but he'll do like Pinterest, Instagram, some goofy crap like that. So I wanted to jump in and do that, just kind of pay a little homage to my boy Jason, who's probably taking care of wild kids. He's got like a house full of children. So I don't know if he'll hear this at all, but that was for you, Jason.
Hopefully he heard it and it made his night. But that should definitely be like a common thing that you ask every single time.
I don't know about that. I give him crap every single time he says it, and he just doesn't give up. I think we finally did have somebody who had a Pinterest or at least had an Instagram. One of the two. I don't remember who it was. But I know recently he did have somebody that said they had a Pinterest or an Instagram or something, and I just, I guess that's his justification for all the times asking, so.
Man, I wouldn't be comfortable coming out saying that on the radio if I had a Pinterest or not. But that's just me.
I think London's going to ask that question forever myself.
Yeah. Listen, if it's cool with you guys, I want to talk just a minute about the World Class Fight League event I was at last night. But is that cool with everybody?
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
All right. Listen, Florida has so much MMA going on right now, and it's just coming out of everywhere. And the majority of them are good promotions who know what they're doing. From time to time, promotions that don't know what they're doing, that are not taking care of the fighters. And I hate it. It's kind of heartbreaking because those fighters show up and they're going through, they're going into battle no matter what promotion they're fighting on. So I kind of hate to see when a promotion lets down big time and, wrongs their fighters. But if there's one promotion who 150% of the time is delivering top-notch professional-level stuff, it's World Class Fight League, and they're an amateur promotion only on their fourth event. And it's just nonstop greatness every time. There was 10 fights last night. It was supposed to be an 11th. There was supposed to be a heavyweight title fight, but one of the guys was a no-call, no-show. And long backstory there. But for the 10 fights that went off, it was a great night. And they're just doing great things down here. They're making huge waves in Florida. They after their second event, they got picked up as the official amateur feeder promotion to the XFC, which – I mean, it's just about the third largest promotion in the country and getting bigger and bigger every day. So They're doing great things down here. It's always a pleasure being cage-eyed for their events. And they've got another one coming up June 29th. You can see the results at MMAMadhouse.com under World Class Fight League 4 Proving Ground. Check it out. Some of Florida's best amateur guys, you know, they come from around the state to be on these cards. It's just a great night of fights.
Hey, man, whenever you talk about the events down there in Florida, whenever I hear you on the radio shows and stuff, I always go and see the results and stuff. And, I mean, you're right. Half of them are knockouts, submissions, and I'm just like, man, I wish I was down there watching them live.
Yeah, man. Like I said, when you're down here at the end of the month, whatever, hit me up and we'll see if we can get together and I could get you to an event. Just depends on when you're there, because I'm not down in that area very often, but I should be down there here in a couple weeks for CFA 11. And it's gonna be a big event. There's gonna be a lot of focus on it because of the Fallon Fox Alana Jones fight and all of the circus business that's been surrounding Fallon Fox and whatever each person's thoughts are on her. She's gonna fight, and the state gave her license, and so it's gonna be big. It's actually gonna be CFA's first event that will be covered by Access TV. I don't know how familiar you are with Access TV. Access TV is pretty much the king of MMA. They've got nonstop XFCs on there. Legacy Fighting out of Tampa's on there.
MFC
showing fights. Yeah, MFC is on Access TV. They're showing events all the time. They have so many promotions that they cover, and CFA 11 will be covered on Access. So if you can get to Access, if you can watch it, I would check it out. It's gonna be a good event, and maybe if I see some cameras, I'll wave my hands like a crazy man and see if I can't get myself on TV. So.
I was just about to say, with Fallon Fox fighting, it'd definitely be on Inside MMA, and then you said it's going to be on Access TV. I was like, oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see you live.
I hope that they are going to continue to air the CFA fights. I hope that they're not just picking it up for that one because of the Fallon Fox circusness. But if nothing else, it's great coverage for a really good promotion coming out of South Florida. CFA is Championship Fighting Alliance, for anybody who's not familiar. A young promotion out of the Miami, kind of like Coral Gables area. And they're doing some big things down there. We've had the CEO on the show before on Full Guard. And he's a cool dude, just looking to put on good fights and support the sport. So, check it out if you can. If I can't be there, I'll sure as hell be watching it. But it's going to be a great night. I personally want to see Fallon Fox lose decisively. I'd really like a lot of Jones to finish her, but we'll see what happens.
Hey man, if you don't have Access TV, anybody listening, you have to get that. I mess with my buddy all the time, who's goes to all the events with me, talking about how he doesn't have Access TV. You have to have that. There's so many great promotions on there, and
absolutely.
hopefully they're not just picking it up because of her. Hopefully they'll keep airing those fights down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Access TV is great for the sport, but I don't think there's a bigger media outlet for this sport than Go Fight Live, GFL.TV. Nobody brings more events than them on a weekly basis, and they're awesome. We actually got one of their guys on the show the other night and had some fun talking with him. He gave away a free event to a fan. I hope that fan enjoyed it. The fan got to a free event of his choice, which he chose Roktagon 26, which went down tonight. Which you can see the results at MMAMadhouse.com for those, because our boy Jeff out of Pittsburgh was feeding the live results of that all night, and I know he had a pretty awesome time. Check that out at MMAMadhouse.com and check out GFL.TV, where it's just nonstop MMA action.
Hey, how have I not met Jeff yet? He's in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, he's I believe he's directly out of not Pittsburgh. He's in the area. Altoona. He's directly out of Altoona, and I'm not sure where that Altoona is in relation to Pittsburgh. I know Pittsburgh pretty well because I got family there, and I go there once or twice a year, but I'm not sure the relation of Altoona, but I know he's in the area. So, and he goes to some events, and he was covering Roktagon tonight through GFL, and I'm looking at the results now. Looks like a big night of fights. A lot of nice finishes. You got some second round KOs, second round triangle, first round rear naked choke, second round Kimura. I actually got to see, last night I got to see a key lock submission. Have not seen that in person before. It was beautiful. I did not like the coach of the guy yelling, break his arm. That shouldn't be happening. That's one thing on the UFC Bellator level. That's different. But as far as local amateur MMA goes, I personally don't think you should ever hear a coach or anyone yelling, break the arm. These guys, these amateur fighters, they don't have the funding to get this, you know, these arms taken care of and stuff like that. You know, that's just wrong. You want your guy to finish a fight, but finish it fairly. Finish it. You know, if the guy's not tapping in amateur MMA, the ref should stop it, which in this case he did, or else his arm was going to get broken. But it was a beautiful submission. I'm just glad to see that the dude's arm was not broken.
Did it happen to be Shinya Aoki?
No, it was not Shinya Aoki. If I saw Shinya Aoki at a local fight, man, that'd have been like the that'd have been the night of my life. That'd have been sick. But no, it was not Shinya Aoki.
Hey, man, but with the GFL events, I'm finishing up school this week, so I'm excited possibly next weekends to come, to start covering events through that. And like Matthew said, that's, other than Access TV, those two are the best places to watch all these different MMA organizations, whether they be small or large, throughout the country and all over.
Yeah. Hey, listen, speaking of Pablo Diablo up there, I'm very happy to hear, you know, just within the last few weeks, that Cagefire Radio is coming back. Cagefire Radio is where I started, and Cagefire Radio created the monster that I am today. So I know that you're going to have a great time. Caitlin is baller status. She is awesome. Had a fun time with her. We really got, you know, we had so much fun on the show, interviewed some great young fighters in her area and my area. She's legit. Girl knows her stuff, knows her people. And so it's gonna be awesome seeing Cagefire Radio come back and seeing Spencer and Caitlin take over and do some awesome things for the future of Cagefire. So congratulations on that one, dude.
Oh, yeah, man. It means a lot. I was so happy when Carl called me and told me I'd be taking over for you. I know I won't be able to outdo you. Hopefully I can follow in your footsteps. Maybe in a couple of months I'll be covering as many events as you. But I'm excited to start. I'm going to have to get in contact with Carl, and we're going to figure all this out in the next coming week. And I look forward to running the show with Caitlin, and she'll bring the West Coast, and I'll bring the East Coast.
Listen, you talk about, you don't want to follow in my footsteps. When I started this stuff, when I started Cagefire, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. When I first started with Madhouse, man, I was, you know, Carl's explaining to me what Madhouse was about. I didn't know the first thing. I'm talking like local MMA. Like there's that happens. Like I'm like that. He's like, well, you know, he's like, what, you know, what does Florida have? You know, what kind of stuff goes on down there? And I'm like, honestly, I don't think Florida has local MMA. I couldn't have been more wrong. I couldn't have been sounded like a bigger idiot back then, man. I tell you, and it took a while for me to get going because, you know, I was this guy that came out of nowhere, and I'm still, you know, I don't consider myself a hotshot by any means. I still consider myself an infant when it comes to this stuff, and I have a lot to learn and a long road ahead of me. But, you know, in the short time I've been doing it, I've picked up enough knowledge, and it's not being egotistical. It's not from knowledge that, like, you know, I'm awesome. It's knowledge from being part of such a great team. And you know, with having guys like Carl and Skippy, Lapati, Chris Gregory, these guys that have been doing it for a long time, to kind of like pass their knowledge on and teach you and stuff. And I feel like I owe 80% of what I know to these guys. And all I had to do was look around me, you know, start searching stuff out, and these promotions were jumping up all over the place. And it was like, boom, here's a fight. And I was like, holy crap, you know, I knew what I saw on TV, but I didn't know much more than that. And you know, now it's like these events are everywhere and these promotions are popping up left and right, and it's like, you know, there's more events than I can even get to. So it's you know, I don't want you to follow in my footsteps. Set your own footsteps and learn from the greats, which we happen to be associated with. Skippy, I'm pretty sure Skippy bleeds MMA. I think that he's got it put directly into his veins. The guy, I don't think the guy sleeps. I think it's just MMA 24 hours a day, every day. I know Carl sleeps because he'll be, you know, he tells me to leave him alone some nights, and I'm trying to text him at 2 a.m. asking him questions, and you know, he's like, "Listen, little boy, I need to go to sleep. I'm an old man. I need my 10 hours of sleep." So, No, man, just it's going to be awesome. You're going to have such a fun time,
yep.
man. And I feel like I'm talking too much. I really want to hear some more from Carrie and what she's got going on in her area and stuff. So, Carrie, tell me to shut up and jump in here.
Well, Dan brought up Matt Brown earlier, and I actually am going to UFC 160 in August, or UFC, the boxing card on, I think they're calling it FX1 now, their new sports network.
Yeah, they're calling UFC on Fox One.
On Fox One, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be the new Fox Sports Network.
Right. I couldn't remember what they were calling it. But I will be in Boston for that card, and Matt Brown is fighting Thiago Alves on there. And that made me think of it whenever he said he's done some training with Rich Franklin and Matt Brown. That's something I'm very excited for. Wanderlei Silva and Chael Sonnen might be headlining the event. I've heard rumors. I've not heard it confirmed.
Yeah.
That's something that I'm really looking forward to as far as events go.
Hey, listen, we've got the headmaster of Missouri MMA hanging out with us now, so let's go ahead and bring him in before we start running out of time. Mr. Gregory, how you doing?
Yo, what's up, guys? Yeah, I just got done. Kansas City Fighting Alliance in Independence, Missouri. It's about 150 miles from my house, but I'm on the way home now. Man, good fights, man. Amazing slam knockout. I mean, probably one of the best slam knockouts I've ever seen. I'm talking, the dude was out. It was a rampage on Ricardo Arona. I mean, exactly like it, dude. I mean, it was nasty.
That's awesome.
What are you guys talking about tonight?
Everything. Everything, as always.
That's cool. Yeah, I just wanted to call in because I was just on the way back. I just wanted to pump up Kansas City Fighting Alliance a little bit. But when I get to the house, I'll be posting a lot more stuff about it. Make sure you guys check it out on www.mmatopics.net.
Hey, listen, definitely. Chris, which fight was that slam? Is that the 32 second KO?
Yeah, 32 second.
Derek Ripley and Chris Page.
Oh no, man! But dude, that was an amazing, amazing little like scrap coming out right out the bat. I mean, it was a quick fight, but. You know, I don't know if you guys have seen Derek Ripley's record, but he's one of those guys. It's like Jeremy Horn, man. He'll fight anybody, anywhere, anytime. You know, he books fight after fight after fight. He hadn't been in the cage for a long time. So, you know, it was nice to see him do that. The fight I was talking about is actually RJ Casper got knocked out. Not too sure what his opponent's name was. Not too familiar with him.
Brett Simmons.
Yeah, yeah, Simmons, man. Simmons was, I guess, about 8 pounds over, and RJ's a little 125, or we're talking 120, you know, I mean, the other guy was just way bigger than him. I mean, it looked like he was at least two divisions bigger than him, and, I mean, he had a triangle choke in, and dude just picked him up, and, I mean, lights out once he hit the mat. I mean, it was a sweet knockout. And then Rob Philippus, the heavyweight, took on, David Hammond.
David Hammond.
Rob cuts weight to make heavyweight. Let's put it that way. And he came in at 265 and a half yesterday, and Hammond's was about 240. And he picked Hammond's up clear over his head, and, I mean, just slammed him, out-wrestled him, beat him, and, I mean, it was a great fight. Philippus is the real deal, man. That dude is huge. If you cut weight to make heavyweight, you know you're a big, big man.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. We got a guy down here, Mark Mendez. He's 10-9 as an amateur, and he cuts a major weight to come in as a heavyweight, and he still comes in at like 260, 275. So
wow.
I'm gonna go ahead and say
that Rob Philippus is probably top five amateurs in Missouri at heavyweight. Dude's a beast, man. Dude is a beast. Also, man, it was very hard to talk about this fight. But Derek Bohai, he got knocked out just right out the gate against John Orr. It was quick. I thought Bohai would take it to the ground, you know, training under Leonardo Picanha. I thought he was going to take it to the ground, and he didn't, you know, and he got knocked out. I mean, right, I mean, 19 seconds into the fight, it was quick. I mean, it was a quick night of fights. I mean, I'm heading home at, I think it's about 10:30 or so here.
Yeah.
11 o'clock, you know, and usually I'm here till 1:30, so. So, quick night of fights went smooth. You know, you most first, second round. A lot of fighters surprised me. Chuck Willis, 145er. I thought he had no chance against Stephen Graham. And let me just tell you, it was a split decision, and Chuck Willis deserves all the credit, man. That dude is tough, man. I thought he was going to get ran over, and he surprised me, man. He's a pretty damn good fighter, man. Pretty talented kid. He just needs to get in the right gyms and work harder. So that dude's tough, man. But thanks for letting me come on, guys. When I get to the house, I'm actually going to do a late-night MMA Topics radio. So if you guys want to tune in later, I'll be posting it up on Facebook and stuff for everyone to hear.
Right on, man. So they can check out MMATopics.net to find that link for that show, right?
Yes, sir. Or
awesome,
Madhouse, it don't matter. allies, baby. We're allies.
Right on, man. Well, hey, have a safe drive home, and make sure to tune in to Mr. Gregory later tonight talking some Missouri MMA.
All right, man. Thank you very much for having me on for a second. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I got somebody else here who wants to say something.
Right on.
Okay, everybody in Edmonton, tune in. The Edmonton Oilers are out. The Edmonton Rush are out. And the number one MMA organization in the country is going to be live. May 10th at the Shaw Conference Center. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.ca. And when I say it's going to be nuts, it's going to be nuts. And I mean nuts. I'm not. It's going to be crazy.
I was expecting Skippy, but we got Mr. MFC instead.
Mark Pavlich, one and only Mark Pavlich.
Yeah.
I saw that video of his on Tout, I think it was, and I just love that guy.
Did you guys check out Cage Warriors at all today?
Not me.
Cage Warriors 53, Jim Allers defeated Joni Salvara. Fourth round submission armbar for the featherweight title. That's the same featherweight title that Conor McGregor vacated to come to the UFC. So I thought that was interesting. I only caught two of those. I watched them later on. So.
Wife's got me busy building a chicken coop.
For your children?
Yeah, you can tell how excited I am, I think.
Oh, Carl, he's got to give you something to do, man. Old man can't be putzing around the house all day.
Yeah, well, I wanted to cover Roctagon, you know. I've been covering the Roctagon events, you know, quite a few of them in a row now, but I had to let somebody else do it tonight.
Now let me ask you: do you eat the chickens, or what? Are they the kids' pets? Like, what are the chickens? What are the chickens' purpose?
I don't know. We don't got chickens yet. I'm just building.
Oh. Okay.
I believe it's going to be for those egg things.
Eggs, yes.
How I roll. Oh, no Roctagon, no fun for me. Just chicken.
Chicken coops. Dang, man.
We got about 3 minutes left in the show. Carrie, where can everybody follow you?
They can follow me at KariRichardson.com. It's K-A-H-R-I Richardson. I'm on Facebook as well, Kari Richardson, and Instagram, Kari, Miss Kari.
But not Kari, Pinterest.
Huh?
But not Pinterest.
Not Pinterest. No, actually, I am not on Pinterest.
Am I the only one who?
But
on
I did
Pinterest
fall to Instagram.
That's okay.
I'm the only one on Pinterest. MMA Madhouse is on Pinterest.
Is it really?
is on Tout, is on, you name it, we're almost
Tout
everywhere.
Is.
Tout is sort of like Twitter, except it's all video. Instead of tweeting out, a text message, you get like a 15-second video that you can blast off your phone or whatever.
I thought that's what Vine was. I thought my girlfriend's trying to get me into this Vine crap, and all it is you post in like 5-6 second videos, and I'm just like, what the hell's the point of that? It's like a waste of time. They're creating before you know it.
Video?
It's gonna be like there's gonna be a social networking site where you just post pictures of like your feet talking to each other, and that's literally all it is. It's just, at some point, it has to stop. And I'm a social networking junkie. I mean, I'm on Facebook and Twitter all the time, but. I don't know, man. It's just like, you know, I'm ready to reactivate my MySpace or something.
The MySpace days.
That's pretty cool. You know, you get your 15 seconds or less, and, usually that's about all you need for a lot of things, anyhow. Check it out.
I got to give 2 cents on something real quick. I know I'm seeing on Facebook. I'm not watching it because I think I'm not a boxing guy, but a lot of people are talking about Floyd Mayweather right now, so I'm guessing he's in the process of walking out to the ring. Floyd Mayweather's a joke. I want to see him fight a real fight and be in a real fight, not some fixed boxing fight, and I hope to God somehow this would reach his ears. I want to see his ass in a real fight, not this bogus crap that he's doing, and until he's in a real fight, I'm tired of people calling this guy a fighter, and that's all I have to say.
I completely agree with you, 100%.
Hey, same here. Bunch of money to fight once a year.
Yeah, I know, right? When he's not in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
Real quick, you brought up Conor McGregor earlier, Spencer, and I am seeing some rumors that he will be in Boston as well.
Okay, nice. That's the only reason I brought that up, the Cage Warriors thing. I thought that was interesting and could tie into that if he was fighting on that Boston card that you're going to.
Yes, it looks like there is a very good chance that he will be.
Okay. Well, hopefully he fights there for you because he's a hell of a fighter.
Yes.
We're gonna run out of time here real soon. I just want to say it was awesome being on here with you guys. And, have a great night. And you guys are awesome. Spencer, good luck with Cage Fire. And it sounds like it's Kari, so I'm going to stop calling you Kari. So, Kari, it was awesome getting to hang out with you. Looking forward to a lot of things coming from you, too. So you guys have a great night.
Thank
hey,
you,
too.
Follow Matthew at J23Journalistic on Twitter. Spencer, where are you at, man? Where can everybody follow you?
You guys can follow me at Pablo_L_Diablo. On Facebook, just type in Pablo Diablo and I'll come up. It's a picture of me dancing with my beautiful girlfriend, Brie. So there you go.
Kiss ass. Suck up.
There you go.
Always.
Hard man. That's why I'm building a chicken coop.
See, me and Carl, you know me, Carl. You know me.
Yes. That's funny.
Hey, don't forget, at Carl the Madman on Twitter, too. That is the center of MMA right there. So follow at Carl the Madman.
Yeah, all 152 followers or whatever it is I have. Smoking.
Well, those are 152 lucky followers, that's for sure.
I don't know about that. It's all good. Spencer, Kari, thanks for doing this tonight. Inside the asylum is usually mine and London's thing, but, we also want to bring in everybody else that's members of Team Madhouse, and you two are, and... Thank you very much for your time tonight. I think you did a great job.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the chance.
You know I'll be calling you again, and it's usually probably most likely going to be, a half hour before the show.
Yeah. Well, I will be prepared.
That's the Madman special.
That's usually what happens to Spencer, too. It's like, need help now. Help now.
Hey, man, that's all I need, 30 minutes. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, like I said, thank you very much, everybody. Have a great night, and until next time.
Thank you. You too.
We made it. people. Time to disperse. Party's over.
All I need to do is you. All I need to do is you. All I need to do is you.